So yes, the topic for tonight is marriage and ministry. How do you balance?
How do you balance it?
How do you balance it? Tonight we'll be discussing that.
Mm-hmm. And again, like my wife said earlier, we want your input, please. Let's have a dialogue. We want to get your testimonies, your input on how you feel about how to balance marriage and ministry. And it doesn't only go for marriage and ministry, but it can go for marriage and business, family and business, whatever other thing that's a component besides your relationship and whatever else you do.
Right.
Right? How to find balance.
Right.
Hey, Gail, how to find that kind of balance? Because without balance, things go wrong.
Right. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. God bless you, Bishop. How you doing, Bishop? Glad to see
you.
Bless you.
So that's what we want to talk about tonight, and we want you to get your input because it's very, very important that we know that for all of you married couples who have who work in ministry, or you're part of a business and you're married, you want to make sure that you don't that you do have balance.
Right.
Because without balance, you're going to hit a lot of roadblocks, and some of you probably already know what happens when you don't have balance.
Right. When you don't have balance, you can definitely experience burnout. And you don't want to get to that point where you burn out and you no longer loving the things that you truly, that you want to do. You no longer loving doing ministry. You no longer have that passion, that drive is gone because now you burnt out.
Right.
So you have to have a balance. Mm-hmm. Oh, Bishop, the shirts. How much is the shirts? The shirts is $25. All right? It's $25 for a t-shirt.
And you can email themarriagemandate at gmail.com.
Right. Tyler said, we're only 9 months into pastoring, so y'all help us.
Oh, that's good. So I'm glad that you're on.
Well, first I want to say congratulations.
Congratulations.
And welcome to the world of pastoring.
Can I ask you a question? How long have you been married? That's really important to know.
Right. For Tyler.
How long have you been married?
How long have you been married?
We've been married for 20 years. So how long have you been married? That's gonna be a big, important thing to know. But while she comes on,
right,
if you can finish.
I lost my mind.
So basically, you want to make sure you have balance because without balance, you're gonna have major issues. I know some of you have heard, everything is good in moderation.
7 years.
7 years. Okay, congratulations.
Congratulations.
That's wonderful.
That's wonderful.
So everything is good in moderation, so it's very important that you find some kind of a balance because you don't want to either side to have a major issue, right? First thing I want to talk about tonight, I want all you guys to give me your input, is what is your feeling about ministry starting at home? Ministry begins at home.
Mm-hmm.
That's so important to know. That ministry begins at home.
Absolutely. You know, your family is your first ministry.
Right.
Like, that's priority.
Starts at home.
It starts at home.
Right.
You get all your learning and your training at home.
At home.
Like, yeah. Like we have 7 girls. 7 girls and 1 boy. The boy is the oldest. So with our 7 girls, it's so many different personalities.
Right.
That right there in itself is like a training ground to help you to learn how to deal with so many different personalities in ministry.
Right.
So
it has to begin at home. Yes, I see Tanika Moore said it must begin at home. Why does it begin at home? Why must it begin at home, right? Why is it so important that your ministry begins at home? Because what happens at home affects you when you leave home.
Mm-hmm.
It affects everything that you do, what you're going through at home.
Mm-hmm.
So if you need some healing at home, it's important that you get healing at home before you even go out into the world and do other things.
Right.
I see Gavin wrote something.
Gavin said,
I can't read from here. Oh, I just spoke with brother at my job about the same thing. It's so important that we take care of each other first.
Absolutely.
Right? It's so important. You want to make sure that the family, the marriage, the relationship is healthy and strong before you can really operate ministry at your full capacity.
Mm-hmm.
So your home has to be strong. That's right. Very, very important because the stresses and the pressures that come along with ministry, business, work, school, it can be so overwhelming, and it's added pressure when you have a home that's in disarray.
Right.
Right. So it's very important to find that balance.
And I don't know about anybody else, but I know when I'm seeking for guidance and I'm seeking for counseling, I look for somebody with experience. Not so much a degree, because that's something that you learn, which I'm not knocking a degree, but I'm often looking for someone with experience. So for instance, if I'm looking for help with my disobedient child, I'm looking for somebody who I know they testified that they had a disobedient child, and now their child is doing a little bit better because there's some things that they did. I'm gonna go to that person because of the experience.
Right.
So that's another reason why your home should be first, because you gain a lot of experience from home.
Right.
Home.
Right. And it's so important, because your family at home, you bring it to your ministry. So let's say you lose church, for example. Church should be a family.
Right.
So if you don't learn those tools and learn those principles at home, you can't implement them outside.
Right.
Those experiences that you're getting is helping you to minister
right.
to people that are going through issues in their everyday lives.
Thank you, Shalisha. Thank you. God bless
Thank
you.
Thank you so much. So much. Appreciate it. Amen. Bishop Henderson said, amen, you better say that. Lord, so many in ministry needs to hear this. My God. Yeah, it's true, because it really, really is a sad thing when the home is in disarray.
Disarray.
The relationship is falling apart. And you're trying to function in ministry, but you're having these issues at home. So you have to first know that that's my first ministry's
that's
home.
Your first
let
ministry.
Me work on that first.
Yep.
Let me let God deal with that. Let me just learn through fasting and prayer and even working. Counseling is nothing against counseling. Counseling is a good thing.
Mm-mm.
Whatever you have to do to get that family structure, that foundation strong, and then you're more equipped to minister outside.
Right.
And you're learning things that you need to know to help other people that are going through issues and their families, right? So that's how you're able to have a more holistic approach when it comes to doing ministry or whatever else that you're doing. You learn those things at home, right? So you have to find balance.
Absolutely. And I've been in ministry all my life, because my dad, the late Bishop Samuel Sims, he was a pastor. He pastored for over 35 years before he passed on. So I've been in ministry all my life, and I've seen so much in ministry. I've seen pastors who have put more time into the ministry and neglected home, and you would see the results of that, of that action. You would see those particular kids, those pastor kids, just go off the chart. They're just like the worst, and you won't see them in church anymore. They're just off the chart, because the parents had put more into the ministry. They invested more time into the ministry than they did at home, and that's a big mistake a lot of pastors and a lot of people in the ministry make. So I told my husband when we got married, I'm going to make sure, he can do ministry as much as he wants, but I'm going to be the one to make sure that we have that balance. So if you doing too much ministry, if I look at the calendar and everything is ministry, 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 and I don't see family anywhere, we're going to have a problem. So I kind of make sure that I pull him back and say, listen, it's okay. You can miss this appointment. It's okay. You can miss that service. Your daughter's graduating over here. She wants to go to this birthday party over here. There has to be a balance.
Right.
Has to be a balance.
Right. And I see, hey, how you doing, Elder Mike? I see Tatiana said damaged families can be a cause of backslide.
Oh.
And that's what I want to get to next. Because a lot of times when you neglect your family, then your family starts to hate ministry.
Hate ministry.
Because ministry is the thing that stole you away from them.
Yep.
So when they grow, they start to kind of reject God and the things of God. So you want to make sure you have that balance, because your children's salvation is on the line too.
Right.
You want to make sure the balance is there, because you don't want them to hate the things of God, because the things of God stole you away. So you got to make sure you keep that in mind.
Right.
I see Tanika Moore.
Said, yes, my husband always says, don't be a public success, but a private
failure.
Yeah. Yes, you cannot. Yeah. Absolutely
you have
not.
You have to have that balance. And that's going to take work.
Yeah.
Because it's easy to put all your energy into one thing or more on one side than the other. Mm-hmm. But the only way to have balance is that you have to physically, like, do the work. You have to plan. You have to organize. You have to be able to say no.
Right.
Sometimes.
You got to say no.
Be able to say, you know, I can't do it this time because I have these other obligations. You have to have that balance because, you know, you want your children's salvation. You want your spouse's salvation to stay intact. You want to make sure that, you know, you're not saving the world and your family's going down the drain.
Right.
You know what I mean? You got to make sure you have that.
Right.
Bishop? Bishop Henderson. Wow, this is so needed in the ministry. Please be encouraged, mighty couple of God. May Almighty God bless you, man and woman of God. Thank you so much,
God
Bishop.
God bless you, Bishop.
Appreciate
Thank
that.
You.
It's
Thank
so much
you.
Needed because we try to learn from our own experiences and see if we can be a help to somebody.
Right.
You know, or to minister to somebody from a place of experience. Right. Let people know, you know, these are the things that you have to keep in mind. These are the things that you don't want to ignore. Mm. It's easy to kind of like overlook it and not pay attention to it, but these things mean a lot.
Yes.
And as your family grows and things like that, as you get older, you start having a lot of regrets. You don't want to look back and have a lot of regrets about decisions that you made.
Right.
So you got to make sure that you find that balance. Make sure you find that balance. Because a lot of times people will do all of these things and the family will look and say, you know what? People are fickle.
Mm.
They like you one day, tomorrow they can't stand you. So if you put all your energy into something and you leave your family abandoned, and then later on you're going to look back and say, you know what? I should have did things differently.
Right.
So you have to have that balance. Your ministry starts at home. Your ministry definitely starts at home.
Do not neglect home.
You have to. And then you have to make sure you do those things that's necessary to keep things together. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You know, plan. For those married couples, plan date nights.
Mm-hmm.
You know, plan time where you spend with your spouse or your significant other so that you let that person know that you're important.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? You're valuable. You know, I need you. You're something that in my life that I count as a priority.
Right.
And when you do that, they can kind of have some, you know, they can have some more leeway with you when it comes to other things that you have to do because you're making the effort.
Right.
And letting them know that they're important.
Right. Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
Bless you, Sister Drumgold. Bless you.
Bless you, Cheryl.
Good to see you.
Yep.
Right? So we have to make sure we keep that in mind. Ministry begins at home.
At home.
Right?
At home.
So now, next step we want to talk about, and you can all chime in, is double standards.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to have a double standard. Right? Remember, your family is on the line, your spouse is on the line. You want to be very careful what you're doing. You don't want to say, oh, this is how it goes for here, but over here, it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Especially with kids. You can't tell kids, you know, you can't do that, and then somebody else is allowed to do it.
No.
You got to be really careful with that.
Kids going to call you out on that.
Right. That's where the balance has to come in.
Mm-hmm.
That's where the balance has to come in, because you got to make sure you go straight along the line. Things
right.
that happen in your ministry, in your church, in your business, whatever you're doing, you got to make sure you have the same values, same morals, same principles that you have at home. You don't change when you get to wherever you go. Like, you don't go to church and turn into a different person.
Right.
You should be the same person at church that you are at home.
At home, yeah.
Right? You don't have a double standard. You want to be the same person that you was at. Now, you're going to have arguments. You're going to have your disagreements. Yeah. That doesn't make you a hypocrite, but you're going to be, you want to be the same person.
Right.
You don't want to turn into another person
right.
when you're in different environments.
Right.
Right. You want to be as real as possible. That's what that's part of being balanced.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's part of being balanced.
Mm-hmm.
Be the same person. You be the same person at home. Now, don't act all crazy when you get to church. And you're like, you don't talk like that to me when we home. Now all of a sudden. So you got to keep that. Oh, hey, Elder Green. How you doing?
Bless you.
So you have to have that balance.
Right.
Very, very, very important. Double standard. Don't have no double standard. Let it be the same way.
Mm-hmm.
Don't change up on everybody when you get into certain environments, certain rooms.
Right.
Well, around certain people.
Mm-hmm.
You want to stay the same.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You want to be able to say that I was the same way at home as I am here.
Right.
Right?
Absolutely.
So balance. How do you balance it?
Yeah. Anybody out there got any experiences, have any experiences with balancing ministry? Any mistakes that you have made that you can help somebody here on the line?
Mm-hmm.
Kind of, even us.
Chime in.
Chime in. Because I know there's some people out there who's doing ministry and they're married mm-hmm. and they've been doing it longer than us. Some mm-hmm. experiences, some things that you have done.
Some things you learned along the way.
Along the way.
About that. About the points of balance.
Right.
How do you balance things out? It doesn't have to only be just ministry. It could be your business. It could be a job. It could be some recreational activity that you're involved in. How did you find balance? Why did you find balance?
Right.
What was the thing that caused an issue for you when it comes to your marriage and whatever it is that else you're doing?
Right.
Right. How do you find balance?
How do you find balance?
Right?
Amen.
So when we go back to that first principle that we talked about you know, allowing your family to feel important, your spouse to feel important, you don't want to come off like you're just giving them leftovers.
Right.
Right. You give all of your good energy to something else, and then you give them the leftovers.
Right.
After you get tired and everything worn out.
Yes. Hi, hey, Niche. You like my shirts? See, Niche Finney. Everybody, Niche Finney, she is the one who designed our shirts. If you need any graphic arts, hit her up. She's awesome. She's amazing. Her work is impeccable. Just hit her up, Niche Finney. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you again. So anybody, you would like to purchase these t-shirts, I'm sorry to throw this in there. Just inbox us. You can email us at The Marriage Mandate for pre-orders. Our website will be up soon where you can order right from our website. But yeah.
Just email us.
Just email us. Right. Yes.
So,
back to what he was saying. I'm sorry. Yes. Right. So
don't give the family leftovers.
Right. Like he always tell me, because sometimes I'm the type of person that I can't do just one thing at a time. Like I'm a multitasker, and sometimes it's hard for me to like, I'm focusing, I can hear him, I can reiterate everything that he's saying, but I could be looking at my phone or I could be typing something up. And to him, that's kind of like a distraction, and he needs my full attention.
Undivided attention.
And so I had to.
Right. So that's a good point. I want to bring that up. That's another thing. In your marriage, in your relationship, make time to give your spouse your undivided attention.
Yes.
Give them 30 minutes, 40 minutes, something where they get your undivided attention. Right? That's extremely important because you want to make sure that there's moments where there's no distractions at all. There's moments where it's just you and her and you guys are just spending time. Same thing with your kids. Find time to give them your undivided attention.
Yep.
With no distractions.
Yep.
If you got to turn the TV off, you got to turn the phone off, if you got to close up the computer for a moment, whatever it is, just do that to give them your undivided attention.
Yes.
Right? Right, so even for, I see what Gavin wrote.
Niche says, I feel the same way. I feel the same way too, like get off your phone.
Get off the phone. Even at a restaurant, you're looking at your phone. You're not even together.
It's just so hard, and I'm learning, and I'm getting better, right?
Yes,
I'm getting better. But it's like everything I do is online. So my brain is just constantly going. So uh-huh. when it comes, I'm like typing it in my notes, or I'm looking something up. It's constant, but I got to still be reminded like he needs my undivided attention. Right. So it's constant learning, it's constant growing, you know, but I'm doing better.
Doing better, definitely, man. And that's what you gotta work with. You have to work on these things. You can't ignore that because that's important to do. Now, with your kids, that it goes for your kids too. Find time to spend with them undivided attention. Listen to them.
Mm-hmm.
There's some things that they have to say to you that they think they don't have time to even say anything to you. They never have your undivided attention, so they can never even express how they feel about something.
Right.
They could be going through something at school that they didn't tell nobody about, and they feel like their parents are too busy to talk to them. So they never say anything, and they could be suffering in silence.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to this is the designated time where we spend together, we get undivided attention, and then that be the opportunity for them to speak up, tell things, how they feel about something, or something that happened at school, or how they feel about something that you do.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe something that you do, you didn't realize that you do, it's hurting them, or it's making them feel a certain way, and they never expressed that to you, so they just bottle it up, and they don't say anything, but it's affecting them. So you have to have that time where you give undivided attention. It's very important. That's a part of balance.
Yep.
Undivided attention.
So in our home, I definitely make sure I have that lines of communication open with our kids. Like, I bug them to death. Like, I give them kisses. I tell them every day I love them. And they hate it sometimes, but I still do it anyway. And we also have another thing that we do for their birthdays. Their dad will take them out individually. He takes them out to the restaurant and treat them. He shows them how a man is supposed to treat them. And that's what they do. He does that every year. So that undivided attention that they get one-on-one is something that they get, you know, as much as we can.
And no other sister around.
No.
Some birthdays are really close together, but we still do separately where you just spend one-on-one time with that person. It's something I do in my church. And if there's any pastors on here, I implore that you do this, if you can. What I do at my church is that anytime a child has a birthday, I make the mother or the parent stand up and say something positive about that child.
Right.
So when their birthday comes, we bring them to the front of the church, we sing happy birthday, and then we allow an opportunity for the parents to stand up and say something good.
Right.
Now they might have done some things during the week that was bad, but on that day, on their birthday, they have to say something positive to their child on that day.
Right.
So that's giving them, again, balance and undivided attention.
Right.
Right? Positive reinforcement.
Right. Absolutely.
So you want to make sure that you definitely do that. I said, somebody wrote something.
Yes. Bishop says, you preaching, man of God, Lord have mercy. Double standards in the church. I'm encouraged because sometimes church work can get stressing and I come home agitated. Kids don't understand. Wife flag, why you allow the church to stress you and bring that home. I'm really enjoying this. Thank you.
Right. It's
absolutely
true. It's easy. And it happens.
And we can relate because there's a lot of times I have to snap them out of it, be like, listen, not today. Right. Your kids didn't do nothing to you today. Nope.
Don't take it out on the whole family.
Don't take it out on the whole family.
Something that she went through.
You go downstairs. You get that off your chest. And when you finish, then you can come back and be around the family.
Right.
But yeah, it can be consuming if you allow it.
Right.
So you definitely got to catch it.
And that's so important because my bishop taught me this years ago, is that if you don't allow God to minister to you before you even walk in the door of your house, you can actually command the atmosphere. So if you come in the room angry, you can turn the whole atmosphere into a hostile environment.
Right.
Because you walked in with you're upset, you're frustrated, you're overwhelmed. You come in the house, that aura, that spirit comes with you, and you bring it into your house. You'll find when you walk in the door, that atmosphere will cause people to start arguing out of nowhere.
Yes.
Even if you have some pets, the cat will start yelling and the dog will start fighting.
Right.
Everybody, the whole house
will be up
in an uproar because of you. You walked in with that spirit.
Yep.
And you can bring that spirit into your house.
Yep.
Because of some things that you went through outside, or maybe, like I said, a church or your home or business or whatever it is. And you bring that spirit into your house.
Yep.
And you cause the whole atmosphere to be completely off.
Yes.
So you have to make sure that you pray. Like my wife said, if she sees that I'm overwhelmed and frustrated, she'll say, go to your secret closet. Mm-hmm. Just go pray. Spend some time with God.
Just give him
then,
around
and
us.
And then come back. Because, you know, she can always sense it.
Yeah.
And so that I won't bring that atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
And just cause everybody can be happy, having fun, good time. And then I walk in with that bad spirit. And then everybody, all of a sudden, everybody got quiet. Somebody looking at this person. And the next thing you know, somebody arguing.
Right.
That's the kind of power you have. So you have to make sure that you have balance.
Right. God bless you, Brother Darnell Turner. God bless you. Yeah, Bishop said you're so right. I agree 100%. Nisha, come back when you... Yes. Come back when you're done. Yes.
Come back when you're done.
I ain't playing.
You have to do it.
Got to.
You have to. Because you messed up the whole atmosphere. You bring all that drama into the house.
Mm-hmm.
And it happens everywhere you go. I see it happen many places where a person can come and mess up the whole atmosphere.
It only takes one.
They come in with the wrong attitude, with the wrong spirit, mess up the whole atmosphere.
Yes.
So if you don't have balance in your life, then you'll find yourself doing that. You'll be coming in places. See, as believers, we're supposed to come in there and make the atmosphere better.
Mm-hmm.
We're supposed to come in and our spirit is supposed to cause the atmosphere to become better.
Right.
It's not supposed to become worse.
Right.
So you have to check that about yourself. Wait a minute, why is that? I'm the only one mad? I'm coming in here mad.
Mm-hmm.
I'm angry.
Right.
So you got to make sure you do. You have to have balance.
Right. Definitely
It's not
balance.
Fair to the family.
It's not. It's really not.
Yes, yeah, Darnell Turner said, get from around us.
That's right. Get from around us. Go.
Get from around
us. Absolutely. Get from around us.
You gotta do it. You gotta have the balance.
Yes.
You gotta have balance.
Yes.
If you don't have balance, you're gonna mess up everything. It's gonna be your fault.
Mm-hmm.
Because you didn't have balance, because you didn't structure a way to make sure that you balance things out.
Right.
Right? You have to have balance.
Right.
Yep. You don't do that, you're gonna have a major, major issue.
Yep.
Right?
Yep, absolutely. Like even like in making sure that you do get some vacation time. Like it's okay. The church, the ministry will be there when you come back. And if it's gonna go and if it's gonna fall apart
in one week,
I don't know what to tell
anyway.
You.
You gotta start all over anyway.
But it's okay. It's okay to step away, regain your strength, get some rest, rejuvenate, so you'll be able to come back stronger and better, and your mind is rested.
Right.
You can focus better when you're rested. You have to. It's important. It's necessary.
Right.
Like I said, I grew up in a house, and my father was a pastor, and unfortunately, we really didn't take vacations. Vacations wasn't on our agenda. What was considered a vacation was a church convocation. That was vacation. And that was not really vacation for my father, because even then he was still preaching. He was still part of the ministry team. So he had to plan it. So it wasn't a real vacation.
Right.
So we have to make sure. And I'm very adamant about that. Like even my birthday, like every year I go away. Like, my birthday, we go away. And our birthdays both is in March. A week apart, a week and a half apart.
Right.
So we take that time and we go away.
Have to. You got to do it, people. Make sure you keep that in mind. You have to do it. You have to take a vacation. You got to take time away for yourself to regroup, to recuperate, to get your mind back in order. Because you can't be overwhelmed all the time.
No.
It has to be some kind of free break. And let me say this. Keep in mind, the enemy is after your relationship.
Yes, he is.
The devil don't want you to have a healthy relationship.
Yes.
If you're married and you're doing the work of the Lord, is somebody mad at you?
That's right.
If you got a healthy relationship,
somebody's mad at you.
Somebody's upset.
Yep.
Somebody don't want to see you blessed.
They don't want
so you can't let the enemy win by not taking a step away and having balance.
Right.
Somebody waiting for you to fall.
Yes,
somebody waiting for you to not succeed. Somebody want to see you arguing.
Yes,
they want to see you not together. They want to see you break up.
You'll be surprised how many people is sitting in the background.
Waiting.
Praying for your downfall.
Yeah, so you got to.
Right.
You got to say, even for my own self, I have to have balance.
Mm-hmm.
Because at the end of the day, I'm not going to let the enemy win. I'm going to make sure that I allow God into this relationship. I allow God into my family. I listen to his voice. Continue to have balance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, keep in mind, you know, I'm not going to let this upset me so much that's messing up my relationship.
Right.
That's messing up my family.
Absolutely.
That's causing me not to be happy when I go home.
Exactly.
Leave that where it is. Leave it at the job, at the business, at the church.
Or leave it at the door.
Before you cross over. Don't bring
it
home.
At the door.
Don't let it mess up your relationship. Don't let it mess up your family. Because guess what? A lot of people want to see that happen.
Yep.
They want to see you in disarray.
Yep.
Some people, you too happy for them.
That's right.
You too happy. They hate it. They sick of your happiness.
Sick of your happiness.
Some people can't stand it. They can't stand to see it.
You never ever felt that? But people, like, the minute they hear that something is wrong, they like, all of a sudden they're happy.
Yeah. Or they, so they, if they hear that? Something is right, they mad.
Yeah.
So it's like, you gotta make sure. People, married couples, families, keep this in mind. You have to, because you got to let the enemy know that I'm not going to fall for that. I'm not going to fall into that trap.
Right.
I'm going to do whatever's necessary to make things work the way God had planned for it to work.
Right.
Don't think people are happy for you all the time, because they're not.
Mm-hmm.
People are not happy. If somebody, misery does really love company.
Yes, they do.
If you miserable, you don't want to see nobody. Some people, it reminds. And I told some of my leaders back years ago about this. I said, when you start operating with the spirit of excellence,
mm-hmm.
And I got this from somebody, you basically shine in the light on those that are mediocre.
Right.
When you start crossing the T's and dotting the I's,
mm-hmm.
you start walking upright, living holy, you shine in light on those that are not.
Right.
You're not doing it on purpose, but that's just how it is.
Right.
So when you do that, what you're doing is that you're making some people upset.
Yeah.
You don't want to You don't want the enemy to win. You want to make sure that even though I'm not being supported or people are not happy about me being blessed, mm-hmm. I'm going to continue to move forward. I want to have balance. Right. I want to make sure I have balance so that everything can be what God wants it to be. And I could be an example to somebody. Somebody could be blessed by me. I could be ministered. Because you can minister to people without even saying nothing to them. Mm-hmm. Hope you know that. Your lifestyle is ministry. How you live and how you operate, what you do in your everyday living, you are ministering to somebody.
Right.
Might not be to everybody because some people mad at you. Mm-hmm. But somebody is seeing you and they're using you as an example and you're helping somebody.
That's true. So true.
So make sure you implement some balance.
Yep.
Don't let nothing take over, you know, your first ministry.
And just keep in mind that the enemy is out to destroy families.
Uh-huh. Families.
Like he really, really, really targets family. He goes ham
for families.
On families. Yep. If he can destroy a family, entire family,
he's happy.
Yep. So we have to make sure we are standing up and we are praying together. Uh-huh. We are fasting together because when the enemy comes, because when the enemy can't get him, he comes for me. Yeah. And when he can't get me, guess what? He's coming for your kids. He comes for the next thing closest to you. Uh-huh. So you have to stay prayed up. You have to keep your kids covered under the blood.
Yes, you have to.
Don't play with the enemy.
Yeah, you gotta be strong, man, because this is an hour where families are being
destroyed.
Broken up. You know, a lot of dysfunction is taking over the family. Mm-hmm. And we really feel strongly that God has anointed us for families.
Yes.
You know, we pastor a church, our new name is Faith Family Church. And we really are anointed for families, for couples, and for youth. And we really feel like there's a major attack against the family.
Yes.
It really is a major attack against the family. So we have to make sure that we are using the tools that we have to make sure the enemy don't win, that he won't steal our joy.
Absolutely.
That we can continue to operate in the things of God, that we can still be happy.
Right.
Don't you know so many people walking around here that are miserable?
Miserable, yep.
They might not be able to see it right away, but there's some people that are completely miserable.
Right.
And I learned that it's okay to get counseling.
It's okay.
It's okay.
It's okay.
God uses counselors to minister.
Right.
And help you.
Right.
So you have to do whatever you have to do. Use all the tools that God makes available to you so that your family can heal.
Mm-hmm.
So that your relationship can heal. So that even if you're going into a new relationship, maybe some other relationship that you were in was not God ordained, or maybe things didn't work the way you planned it, because it does take two people. But moving forward, it helps you so that you can continue in the right way.
Right.
And have a stronger family, a stronger relationship move forward.
Right. Nish says, what do you do when one sees the enemy and the other spouse can't? What do you do then?
That's a good question. And that happens, because it happens with us, where my wife might see it and I don't. Or I might see it and she doesn't. So the only thing you can do is really, really pray.
Right.
Gotta really pray about that.
You can never lose with prayer.
Yeah.
Like, I'm an observer. So God has blessed me with the gift of discernment. Thank God. And I can meet a person one time. And I can just meet them, and I can tell you straight up what they're here for, what they're coming for, how long they're going to be here. And I would tell my husband. I told my husband a couple of times.
Yeah. Right? It's crazy, because in the beginning, I used to always be like, well, you can't judge somebody you just met. You don't even know them yet. You don't know. But when I found out God gave her that gift and I started seeing everything unfold, I started to listen. But it took time, because as you continue to pray and as you seek God about it and say, God, you know, open the eyes of my spouse, or let them see, or show me how I can, you know, show them. You know what I mean? And God will definitely do that. He'll open up a way for you to help, you know, reveal things.
Right.
Or God will show the other person that, you know what, this is what it is.
Right.
So the prayer is very, very important. You have to
You have to pray. And definitely pray, and pray that God will give you wisdom to handle certain things. Because just because he show you and you see it, it doesn't always mean that you speak on it,
right,
or you say something, or you act on it. Sometimes he shows us things ahead of time so we be aware, but it doesn't say, oh, go and speak to that person, or go and do this, go do. You have to ask for wisdom on how to
respond,
and how to help your spouse to see.
Right, right. Because that could turn to an argument, too. The enemy could use that to destroy your relationship too.
Yep.
So you got to make sure you stay very prayerful about that and say, God, how do I respond to this?
Right.
How do I, you know, what do I do? When do I move? You know, when do I say what I need to say? Like, show me how. Give me an opportunity to be able to kind of show this person is. Mm-hmm. And when you do that, and through prayer, God will kind of, he'll work in that situation and cause it to be, you know, more clear
right.
for you. And that's why it's so important that you pray together too. It's very important that as a couple that you pray together.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you don't pray together, the enemy uses that too
yep.
to slip in. So you got to pray together. You got to spend time and prayer together. That's why we want to at some point, you know, start a prayer summit for couples
right.
as well. Because when you pray together, it's like a special anointing. When you start to pray together as a couple,
mm-hmm.
it, you know, it's a needed thing that we have to do. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we kind of like don't pay close attention to it, especially leaders, which is funny. Pastors a lot of times, they might not even, you know, they might be praying for everybody else.
Right.
But when it comes to their own, they will kind of like not even pay close attention to that.
Right.
But you have to make sure you pay close attention to that. It's very, very important.
Amen.
If you're going to have balance. Balance is everything.
Balance is everything.
Got to have balance.
You have to have balance or you're going to go crazy.
You have to. So we've been through enough things over the course of 20 years of marriage and being married at a very young age that because we survived it, we gained some nuggets that can help other people
right.
who are in relationships or families or, you know, how to deal with kids and how to deal with children and just different ways that you can go about things. And every situation is different because what works for us may not work exactly for another couple.
Right.
But there are some principles that you can kind of use that will help you along the way and it will improve things. But right. you got to find, you know, that thing. We talk about the love language.
Mm-hmm.
We got to find that thing that fits
right.
your relationship. You got to find what works for you.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to use those things to, you know, but you can't be, you know, you got to be really intentional.
Right.
You can't let it just, you can't be passive because things will just overwhelm you. Before you know it, I tell people all the time, if you let the enemy get in the car, eventually he'll be driving.
He'll be driving.
So you want to make sure that you're not letting things get by you. You got to stay very focused
right.
and have discernment.
Thanks, Niche. Thank you so much.
Bless you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
So we got to make sure we keep that in mind.
Yep. So, you know, make sure you just, you know, prayer is essential. Like, and I've had some people who hate when they come to me for advice and I say, pray about it. Some people hate to hear it.
Pray about
but
it.
But I'm like, that should be your first step.
It's praying.
Like, because if anybody can help you, it's God.
Yep.
He's the first one who can help you before I can even open up my mouth. Like, he can get to you before you can even pick up the phone to call me. Pray. Like, pray nonstop. Keep praying. Keep praying until you see change. Because guess what? Prayer changes things.
It really does.
Prayer changes everything.
It does.
Okay?
It does.
Don't ever doubt prayer. Prayer changes right. everything.
Right. Let that be the first thing that you do, like you said. Because many times, as humans, that's the last thing we do.
Yeah.
You try everything else and nothing else will work, and they say, we better pray.
Yeah.
That's the first thing you should do.
Yep.
You should start praying first. That's the first thing you do. And then you get a system of prayer. I was watching a movie on War Room, and you have to notice how the prayer was specific,
mm-hmm.
detailed prayers.
Right.
Use the word when you're praying.
Yeah.
Because you got to use the scriptures when you pray. Mm-hmm. You got to take the scriptures that fit what you're looking for, what you're asking for, and use that word as you pray.
Absolutely.
Rehearse the word
mm-hmm.
as you pray. That prayer has power. Yes. And you use the word of God, because the word of God is right. Use the word of God and let the prayer go forth using the word.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to make you dig in the word. Because if you have an issue with a sickness or something like that, you're going to look for scriptures that talk about sickness.
Right.
If you got an issue with financial disarray, you're going to look for scriptures that focus on finances.
Right.
So you want to use that. You want to pray, you know, look through the word, use the scripture, use the word as you pray
mm-hmm.
in your relationship, in your family,
mm-hmm.
you know, even in your own your thinking. Say, God, help me to have balance.
Right.
Help me, Lord God, to put things in perspective. Help me to know what's number one, what's priority, and what's not.
Mm-hmm.
You got this type of prayers you got to pray. You'll say, God, you show me, and I will obey you. You show me how to do it.
Absolutely.
That's what God, because sometimes we think we already know all the answers, and we just telling God what we want.
Right.
So we got to ask God, what do you want for me?
Mm-hmm.
How do I respond? What do I do in this situation?
Right.
You know, you may have tons of enemies, people fighting you, people talking about you, criticizing you, tearing you down behind your back. All you got to do is pray.
And let God handle the rest.
God knows how to whip they behind. happens.
Let him handle
it. I've seen it too many times. God know how.
Right.
All you got to do is pray. When your heart is pure toward him and you want to do his will, you just start to pray.
That's it.
Say, God, when my enemies and my foes come against me to eat up my flesh, they stumble and fail. You got to know what to pray.
My thing, my
let God work it out.
I have a thing. I say, sick God on them. Sick
that's
him
it.
On
them.
And I just put my hands up.
You
and
do
say,
it.
I'm not fighting. In this season that I'm in right now, I'm not fighting. I'm not arguing. I'm not coming out of character. I'm just going to pray about it, and I'm going to let God handle the rest. Because I got too much that I need to do to be focused on foolishness and nonsense and craziness. Right. I'm too focused.
Right. So and that's what you have to do. And in your relationship, we talk about ministry and marriage, how to balance, right? Listen, stop. Don't be around people that don't want to pray. Get away from people that hate prayer.
That's a dangerous
thing. If you got a whole bunch of people around you that don't want to pray, they never want to pray, that's not the people you need to be around.
No.
You need to be around some people that know how to pray.
Yes.
That's the only way your relationship going to work. That's the only way your family going to function right, is if you around people that are prayer warriors,
right,
that have a prayer life.
That
you got to have your own prayer life, but you want to be around praying people.
Because there's some times where you're going to be weak.
Yeah.
And you're not going to feel like praying.
Yeah.
So you're going to need somebody around you to get a word up to God for
that's
you.
Right.
Because
right.
We all get there. We all get to the point where we just don't feel it. We just don't feel like it right now.
Yeah.
But if I can't get it through, I'm going to need him to get it through.
Yeah.
And if he
somebody
can't get it through, somebody around us got to be praying.
I need some people that's praying. And you can't have people around you that's not praying because they're sucking the life out of you. They contributed to your downfall.
Yes.
All the gossiping and the talking and that ain't getting you nowhere.
Nowhere.
All you want to do is gossip.
Yep.
When do you pray? Because when you start praying, you start talking differently.
Right.
When you start praying, stuff that gets you angry don't get you angry.
Right.
When you start praying, you start understanding things better.
Right.
But the lack of prayer is what's necessary. And let me plug this while I'm talking about prayer. Every Wednesday night, we have a prayer line. And I'll post a flyer up tomorrow or later on tonight. On Wednesday night at 8 o'clock, we have a prayer line. You can call in for prayer. You can send your prayer request. You can just come in on the prayer and just be in a prayer, in a presence of prayer.
Right.
Be in a place where people are praying.
Right.
Just be in that kind of atmosphere just to get recharged.
Right.
Please God with your prayer. And when you get into that kind of atmosphere, God will start shifting things in your life. He'll start helping you to have more balance. He'll start helping you to see things clearly. He'll remove the veil off your eyes.
Right.
Stuff that you was blinded to, God will begin to reveal it to you. Just being in an atmosphere of prayer.
Yeah.
So as you routinely, consistently pray, you know, God's going to do some things in your life. So call on tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. We're going to put up the information. Again, we passed the Faith Family Church, so I'm going to send up information about that. And you call in for prayer, man, and just let's pray. Let's seek God. You know, let's get to the presence of the Lord.
Right.
Get away from those gossipers.
Right. It's too much. It's too much going on in the world for us to be playing games, especially to be playing around with our soul salvation.
Yeah.
We need to really make sure that we're right, and that, you know, when it's time for us to be called home,
we're ready.
We're ready.
Right, we're ready to go.
And that's my focus. And I'm ready to win souls, and I'm ready to go out there and just do the will of God until the day that he called me home.
Right.
That's my focus right now.
And continue to minister to families, continue to minister to couples, continue to be used by God to help bring healing to brokenness and dysfunction and all these things that the enemy uses to destroy families and destroy marriages, that God is able to fix it and repair it and bring it back together again.
Right.
God can do it. That's our focus. That's what we're doing. Until we leave this earth, we're going to continue fulfilling the assignment that God has given us.
That's
and
it.
Anything that the enemy does, it's only going to just make us even stronger. So you got to make sure that your focus is right.
Right.
You got to make sure that you're being consistent.
Right.
Because if you start falling off and 1 minute you're doing it, next minute you're not, then that's the way for the enemy to sneak. Don't you know a lot of times the enemy come in your home because you let him in?
You let him in.
You open the door and let him in.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why he's there. But when you stop letting the devil in,
then
you start seeing everything change in your life. Your kids will start acting better.
Absolutely.
Your kids will start giving their life to Christ. Your family will start changing. Your spouse, your boyfriend, your girl, whoever you're with, you'll start seeing, well, this is the person I don't need to be with, or the person that you need. Then you start seeing everything will change.
Yes, absolutely.
If you stop letting the devil in.
Yes.
I told the saints one Sunday, I said, the Bible says that What does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? Mm-hmm. And the sad thing about it, in 2018, I told them, people are losing their soul for a whole lot less. They're not getting the whole world. They ain't getting nothing. And they losing their soul. They losing their soul for pennies. For nothing. You losing your soul for nothing. If he comes back today, are you ready?
Are you ready? Are you ready?
That's what it is. So are you keeping your covenant? And that's what you got to understand. You say, God, what is it that you have for my life? It's not about pleasing me. What do you want from me? What do I do to please you? And when you start pleasing God, he starts sending blessings. He starts trusting you with stuff. He starts blessing you with stuff that other people can't, because he know he can trust you.
Right.
And that's where you got. That's where you need to be. So couples, balance, balance, balance. Mm-hmm. Family, got to have balance. Right?
Amen.
Got to have balance.
And God bless you, Gail. She says, I am still learning that prayer is the answer to every question. Amen. I am getting better and feel stronger about my prayer life.
Amen.
Amen. Keep going. Yeah. Keep going. Keep going. Don't stop. Keep building it up. Right. Yes.
Right. Yes. That's right. So make sure you call on the prayer line tomorrow night, 8 o'clock. We're going to put the flyer up. But definitely stay prayerful. That's going to keep you balanced mm-hmm. by staying prayerful. Mm-hmm. That's going to keep you balanced. And connect with people who are going in the direction that you want to see. If you want to see your family go in a certain direction, or you want to see your relationship go in a certain, connect with people that are there.
Right.
Don't connect with people that are not.
Right.
Connect with people that are there and let them help you, mentor you, bring you to that place. You got to look at some successful couples or with people that look like they're succeeding. Let those be the people that you focus and you allow them to help you.
Absolutely.
And that's how you have to do it. That's the only way you're going to win.
Absolutely. Amen.
Amen. So we hope that something that we said have blessed you. We're on again here on the Marriage Mandate. Of course, don't forget, you can always buy these sweaters for all you.
Don't forget, our t-shirts.
Sweater, and you get a customized
one. You can customize
it. With your name on the back and a year that you were married. Amen.
Customize it.
So you can definitely do that. So we look forward to coming back again on next week. We hope that something that we said have blessed you or encouraged you or strengthened you or helped you in some area where you had questions.
Right.
Hopefully that helped you. Right. But you can always email us if you need to. We'll be here for you.
At themarriagemandate@gmail.com. Or you can always just inbox us if it's easier for you. Either which way, you know. But, you know, so God is good.
That's right. So contact us if you need to. And you just keep following us on our page, on our separate pages or our Marriage Mandate page, and you can get more information there. Amen. Right. So let me pray before we close. Father, we thank you for each and every one that's on the line on tonight, Lord God. We pray that you would heal,
yes,
deliver,
thank you, Jesus.
Fix every dysfunction, Lord God. Mend the broken hearts, Lord God.
Yes,
heal
God.
What need heal is needed, God.
Yes,
touch
Jesus.
Right now in the name of Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Even by way of Facebook Live, Lord God, we pray that you would do something miraculous in the lives of the people, Lord God.
Yes, Lord.
God, there's nothing too hard for you.
Hard.
We pray right now in the name of Jesus for transformation. We
yes,
pray
God.
For deliverance. We pray for strength, Lord
yes,
God.
Lord.
In the name of somebody's weak, somebody's
God,
tired, somebody's exhausted.
Yes,
but we pray
God.
That you would give them new strength
new
on
strength,
today.
God.
Let them know
Jesus.
That they're not alone, God, that you're
Hallelujah,
still there.
Jesus.
No matter what has transpired in their life,
thank
that you're
Lord.
Still on the throne.
Hallelujah,
that
Jesus.
You're still able to do the impossible, Lord God.
Yes.
Do it for them tonight in the name of Jesus.
Yes, Jesus.
We pray, Lord, even through this ministry, Lord, that people will receive from you in the mighty name of Jesus. And we thank you in advance.
Thank you, God.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Bless
Amen.
You.
God bless you.
Good to see you,
you
again.
Everyone.
We hope to see you again on next week.
Yes.
Bless you, bless you, bless you.
Have a good night, everyone.
Night.
God bless you.